All right, good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, and this is the collective bargaining session with the team from the United Faculty of Florida at UCF and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. Good afternoon to everyone. Charlie, do you want to show us the minutes from our last meeting?
Of course, one second. Where is it? Oh, that's right. It's in a different place under more. Okay, hold on. Where is the share? I'm looking under more and I don't see sh my share button.
I've got a green
Oh,
thing
there
at
we
the
go.
bottom.
Yep, I got it. Sorry about that. I'm catching up to the new system here. Okay.
These are the minutes.
Yes.
Maybe we should just call it the minute. It doesn't look very long.
The minute. I'm kind of hoping today will be the minute, Chuck. I have high hopes for you.
Any questions or comments, any suggestions for changing
Nope.
those minutes?
Looks good to me.
Okay, thank you.
Looks
All right.
fine.
Robert, would you prefer to share with us your questions about 32, or you want to see the MOU?
Let's do 32 first because I think on our end it's going to be quick. I'll just ask you a couple questions. If you can answer them, that's fine. If you have to come back to us later or whatever, that's fine too.
Okay.
I don't know that we're in a rush for definitions, right? So as far as the second one, the quotes we're good on. Consider that fine. So the issue with the lecture redefinition is. And some of this is, maybe because I misunderstood when you presented it the first time,
Okay.
Chuck. Maybe I didn't understand what you were telling me. So if you don't mind going back over the rationale for the change, I would appreciate it. So my recollection was that you had said you wanted this language and the definitions to conform to internal definitions. Is that correct, or do I have that wrong?
What we will do, as I understand it, is update the regulation so that it'll be consistent with this language. Heidi Watt is here. If I'm misstating that, maybe she can correct me.
Hi, everyone. No, I think the real goal is to apply a similar standard to the lecturers that we do to our tenured faculty. And then if we reach agreement on that element, then we would update other internal documents, like the regulations that use a different definition right now.
Okay, so I did misunderstand from that meeting then. Okay, so that makes sense. So this change would then result in the changing of internal language that has yet to be changed. Okay, all right. So okay, because we kind of looked at some internal language and noticed that there wasn't a change, and that's what sort of confused us in our discussion. Talat has her hand up.
Yeah, I mean, hi, Heidi. Good to see you. Long time.
Nice to see you.
You want to make the changes also then in the in what we do for assistant professors and all that too, or
No, we don't want to touch
no,
those.
there's those.
It's
So
just
the
it. Yeah, it's just that we allow for some flexibility in our tenure track positions that we want to maintain, but we want to allow the same flexibility at the lecturer rank to be sort of consistent in how we're treating
So
people.
I see. So right now, the way it is they're expected to have a terminal degree in their in that particular field. And what you're saying is that there's no reason why somebody having a terminal degree in chemistry could not be a lecturer in physics. Is that, do I get that right?
It would allow for the
It
possibility
will
of that.
allow for that possibility. I get it.
But they would still have to be selected
do
Sure,
competitive
sure,
search,
sure, sure,
get
sure,
certified to teach,
sure,
become graduate
sure.
faculty, and if they can't pass those reviews, then they don't
Sure.
work here.
I get it. I get it. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so it would help us, I think, if we could see the, if I remember correctly, the what was referenced before was like assistant professor language, right, Chuck? That you're trying to sync up with the lecturer.
No. What we're trying to do is what Heidi suggested. We want to have the same sort of flexibility that we have for the tenure earning faculty for the non-tenure earning faculty.
So,
So, is
the
that right?
if I may add to that,
Go.
Jack, because I guess what we do when we hire tenure earning faculty, we say that they should have, say, for example, a PhD in that area and related fields, or related fields. So that is what we don't have at the moment for lecturers, I guess.
Well, we
Or maybe
allow
it's
for
not.
related field, but that related field concept, it turns out, in practice is getting applied inconsistently. And so then that begs the question, do we need to fix this and take titles away from people and have that ugly conversation? Or what are we really protecting? What is the real risk in allowing someone with a valid terminal degree in something appropriate to higher ed from being considered a lecturer, considering all that they contribute, considering, that they bring a whole package that is themselves and all their experiences to the table, much like, an assistant professor would. Or a full professor that has engaged in interdisciplinary work throughout their career. They may not have a degree in the fields typically represented within the department that they've been hired into, but for some reason it makes sense to put them there because of the whole package that they represent. We can't do that with the lecturers right now. If they don't have a specific degree in field or in a clearly defined related field, then we got to make them an instructor based on current definitions. And we don't really see what we're protecting by doing that because they still have to be selected through a search. They still have to be able to be justified as appropriate to teach whatever the department wants them to teach. They can't contribute to graduate education unless they pass graduate faculty review. So, what are we really protecting? Instead, we've created the risk of inconsistency across campus. And that's an ugly conversation. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Why are we doing it to these people? It just seemed to make more sense to us to allow for the same flexibility at the lecturer rank. As long as they have a terminal degree appropriate to higher ed, can we allow people to be called lecturers? That has no bearing on what they're paid.
I understand. I get it.
It's
Thanks.
kind of a freebie.
Yes.
Like
Yeah.
let's pat them on the back for, advancing their education to that level. There is value in that process. It recognizes the value in that process.
So, okay. Thank you, Heidi. I have another question, if you don't mind. Or maybe it's for Chuck, whoever wants to step in. So I'm still confused about something. So when I thought I was following this, it was my impression that there's a flexibility in the language of assistant professor or the like that doesn't exist in the lecturer languages. Do I have that correct? Or is
I
it
wouldn't say
the
it that
language
way.
unrelated?
I wouldn't say it that way. An assistant professor has to have a terminal degree in the field or a closely related field. That's always been the case.
Mm-hmm.
With the
Or equivalent.
non-tenured faculty, there are two possible ranks. If somebody's on the tenure track and they're coming in, a brand new person, they are an assistant professor, assuming that they have the teaching qualifications and so forth. But somebody coming in a non-tenure earning line could be either an instructor or a lecturer. And as Heidi has said, we've been somewhat inconsistent in determining who's an instructor and who's a lecturer. And one of the outcomes, one of the good outcomes from making this change is things are much more clear. If somebody's got a terminal degree, whether it's in the field, closely related field, as long as it's appropriate to higher education, they can be a lecturer. Somebody that doesn't have a terminal degree is still going to be an instructor. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, Heidi said that there would be some difficult conversations that we might have to have because there are people with that may have already been classified as a lecturer. They've got a degree that's appropriate for higher education, but they're not in the field. And maybe they should have been an instructor before. Those are difficult conversations to have when people sort of view the lecturer as the person with the more advanced credentials. Now, we could have a different type of conversation, I think, with some of these people. There may be some instructors that would now meet the qualifications to be a lecturer and could actually have a change in the other direction that would, based on my impression, would be much more satisfying to them than the other type of change.
So again, but I'm still confused about the uniform language, if you will, right?
I think
So
it's,
go ahead, Heidi.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, I don't think it's that we're trying to match the actual words as much as we are trying to align the general standard, if that helps. And in order to do that, we have to change the words of the lecturer definition slightly.
Right,
I think.
but we're not. You're not looking as a model of the language to like the assistant professor language or associate or whatever in doing this adaptation. Like this adaptation is purely in and of the lecture position itself.
Could I butt in here?
Well, let her finish, let
Oh,
her
okay.
address my concern first of all.
I'm not sure how to respond to that right now because I think we have really been. I'm gonna have to do what you said and go back to see where do we define assistant professor. Where are all the places that we define assistant professor and look at that language before I respond to your question? It really has come up in the context of does this person belong classified as an instructor or lecturer? And those are the conversations that we get pulled into from time to time. And what we have recognized through our engagement across the university with tenure track faculty, scenarios and non-tenure track faculty scenarios is that we allow for this flexibility in the tenure track lane, but we haven't been allowing it in the non-tenure. So
So that assumes there's a
conceptually,
language, right? So that assumes there's a language of flexibility in the other categories that doesn't exist for this, right? So again, I'm sorry for being a stickler on this, but this is what's coming back in the feedback I'm getting because I am hearing from the bargaining unit about this change. There are some people who support it, there are some people who do not. And I want to be able to explain to them why this would be important if we end up supporting it. And so it's important for me to understand. So it would. To me, it makes sense and it's consistent if there's a flexibility language in the professor descriptions. Like, are you referring to that in the lecture position to create kind of a uniformity and a desire to have that flexibility, or is this lecture thing separate and a completely different thing? Like, it's oranges and professors are apples.
So I was just looking, and I don't see that assistant and associate professor is defined in Article 32. So that is not a point of reference for me. So I'm wanting to go, needing to go back and see, is it defined in regulation, because the regulation I was working with was specific to instructors and lecturers, the instructor and lecturer
Sure.
promotion
Right.
reg.
Because I mean,
So it
if
doesn't
it's
address.
right. I mean, if this is a uniform, and this is about creating uniformity in language for the desire for the flexibility that you request, it makes a lot of sense to me, but I'm not hearing that.
Robert, I know that Charlie had shared with you some of the information that HR has,
Right.
the very generic launching language for job descriptions, basically to go with position announcements when
Right.
those things are advertised.
And I went through those.
Yeah, but that's all it is. We're not trying to match language here. If somebody's hired in a tenure track position, I'm talking, let's imagine there's somebody fresh out of graduate school, whether it's a master's program or a doctoral program. If they apply for a tenure track position here and they are hired, they are going to be an assistant professor. That's just going to happen. If they're applying for a non-tenure track position, then there's a decision that can be made. Are they going to be appointed as an instructor or a lecturer? And I think what is being presented to us is language that would more clearly and more consistently make that distinction between just instructors and lecturers. We're not trying to compare them to assistant professors because that's a tenure track position. These are the non-tenure track positions. Just trying to figure out how do we go, when should we go instructor, when should we go lecturer, because we haven't been as an institution super consistent about that. And we believe this language would help us be more consistent. And we're really not trying to compare this to an assistant professor because that's an entirely different position. It's going to be advertised differently. There may be some positions that are advertised instructor slash lecturer. We don't know whether we're going to get an instructor or a lecturer, and it's going to depend on the qualifications. Does the person have an appropriate terminal degree or not? If somebody applies for an assistant professor position and they get picked, that's what they're going to be. There may be an assistant slash associate slash professor that may be a position that's open sometime. And then depending upon the qualifications, the rank is determined. But it's not going to be a question about whether they're an assistant professor or an instructor.
Sure. All
I
right.
don't know if that
Talat.
helps a little bit.
Well, I have some more questions, but let's go to Talat and then come back to you.
No, so I think yeah, I do understand. I just wanted to repeat it so that we are clear. So basically, when I think the confusion arose because of this parallel between assistant and associate professor and lecturer, and I think that's not the problem here because within in the professorial rank, a person could be hired in another department with a terminal degree that belongs to another department because they are, and that's already there. So they're going to be in the professorial rank. In the lecturer and instructor thing, the problem that we have right now, as I understand it from what Heidi just said, is that if they don't have the terminal degree in that field, then they have to be an instructor, and this will allow them to be a lecturer. That's how I see it. And that gives the flexibility. So I see this as the right thing to be doing, the way I understand it now. But
I think that what you've described it exactly
is the thing, right? But
yeah. It really the issue itself came up in the deliberations between should, particular individuals receive the instructor or lecturer rank. And then in the course of that deliberation and really us asking the question, which we've been asking for a number of years, what are we really protecting here by enforcing this, trying to enforce this standard as best we can? And I think for the most part, we do have consistency, but we have some cases where I would say we have not had consistency across the university. So how do we reconcile this? What is the point in beating everybody's head and creating bad feelings? What is the point? And so then that led to some additional rationale that, my gosh, we don't even hold the tenure faculty to this standard. Why are we doing this? And so that sort of became a strong rationale in our mind, which is why that is what we brought forward to you in the first place. But that is not how it came up to us to start with. It was a parallel that we ended up drawing through the course of our own analysis.
And this clarifies it because there are some people who are instructors, and I never understood why they were called instructors because they do have a PhD. But okay, now it makes sense as to why. Okay.
And they just everybody just feels yucky. And why?
All right, so check. I just have a couple, I think, going to be quick questions, and then we can move on. That works.
Sure.
So one is, now that I'm getting some clarity on this, and I appreciate your patience with all this, Chuck. Do we have to change the language here because lectures appears in the definition? It's the only job category in the definition. Is that what's creating the problem? Because I don't think like assistant professors in definitions, right?
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And again, I wasn't around doing this when these definitions were put into Article 32, but my sort of understanding what I expect was the case was we have this distinction that can be made for the non-tenure earning people, and there needed to be some reason that somebody's an instructor, somebody else is a lecturer. I think that was the intention all along to make that clear. We've done pretty well with it. We haven't been perfect, and we think it will be easier and it will allow us to be more consistent with this alternative definition. And
Sure.
if we can agree on this, which we hope we can, the university will follow up and get the other, regulations and so on in line with what we do here in the
Right. So
CEU.
part of this is like a legacy thing, right? Because the lecturer appears in the glossary, right? Or the
Correct.
definitions.
Correct.
Okay. So this is making more sense now. Thank you. And the other thing that came up in our discussions when we met as a team was whether and if changing the definitions would have a impact on our accreditation by changing job categories and definition of job categories. I
I
don't
don't
think it
believe so.
does, but
I don't believe so.
I wanted to
Heidi
check
does
it.
more with the credit. Heidi, we're really glad you're here. We're really leaning on you
That's
to.
my lane.
All
No,
right.
our creditors expect us to define our own standards and defend them to a jury of our peers.
All right. All right, let me get back to my team on this and then we can return to it at the next session, Chuck. Thank you for addressing our concerns.
Absolutely. Good questions. Appreciate the chance to respond to them. We would like to next propose a memorandum of understanding.
Oh, and wait, before you do that, Chuck, Robert, are you completely done with this topic so we can let poor Heidi Watt go?
Yeah, we
Okay.
have no more questions on it. Sorry.
I didn't want to waste her time.
It
I know, bargaining is riveting and I know you want to stay.
is.
If it comes back up in the next
But
hour or 45 minutes, I'm still available. Poke me, Charlie.
yeah, no problem, Heidi. Thank you so much for helping
Thank you,
clarify
Heidi.
the
No
definition.
problem.
Appreciate
Glad
it.
to do
All
so.
right.
Thanks for hearing us out.
Feel free to proceed, Chuck. Thank you.
Okay, we would like to propose an MOU to address an issue in Article 10 that came up for, we're not even sure why it came up. We had proposed language in Article 10 last time that was the same as had been in Article 10 before. We had talked about it at the table. There was really no discussion about it. And then in the final version, somehow two sentences, I'm going to use a very technical term, got smushed together. And the result is a single sentence that really has no meaning. And we've got an MOU we'd like to share with you that would restore the language from the previous CBA to take this nonsensical sentence that we have right now and repartition it and restore some words that got dropped out so that we end up with two meaningful sentences. So, Charlie, can you show us the MOU? So, as this says, there's some unintended and ambiguous language in Article 10. As it's been been approved by both sides. We have held off on printing the full book with the hope that we could get this cleared up and the full books that people have in their possession soon would be completely correct, and there wouldn't be this understanding. So near the bottom of what we can see right now, there's a sentence in there that says the evaluation period for research may be longer than 1 year, if specified, to distinguish between ratings of conditional and unsatisfactory in any area of assignment. And below that is what this used to say. It says the evaluation period for research may be longer than 1 year if specified in the approved annual evaluation standards and procedures, period. The evaluation period used to distinguish between ratings of conditional and unsatisfactory in any area of assignment may be longer than 1 year. So there should be a sentence that pertains to research alone, and then a sentence that deals with how a unit may distinguish between ratings of conditional and unsatisfactory, which could be done over more than 1 year. We know that many of the units and many of the faculty think it's important for the in the research area that the evaluation period might be longer than 1 year. None of us can control how journal review processes take place, how long it takes to get feedback. Sometimes a person may just have just not as a great a year as they've had before, but they're still continuing to do research on projects that had been funded previously. So it kind of makes sense to look at research for more than just a single year. And then there are times also when somebody may be in teaching, for example, perhaps they're conditional multiple years in a row. When things are repeated like that, a rating of conditional, many units have already specified in their AESPs that when that happens multiple times, it can be an unsatisfactory. But we don't want to say that the evaluation for period for research can be longer than 1 year, and we use that 1 year or more than 1 year period for research to distinguish between conditional and unsatisfactory in teaching or service. That makes no sense. And that's kind of where we are right now as the language appears. We know from the bargaining sessions that we had last year that that certainly wasn't anybody's intention to have the language as it appears right now. And this is why we're proposing this MOU to just return to the language that we think both teams understood to be the language that would be appropriate in the CBA. So that's it. We just want to stretch that one sentence that got smushed by two sentences and restore it to two sentences. And that's it.
All right. Chuck, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So should actually I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. So one, we agree to this. Are you talking about like a separate ratification just for the one MOU right now to take care of printing the CBAs?
Thank you for asking that question. We have checked with our general counsel's office, and Craig has been in touch with counterparts of his at other institutions, and including an outside firm that we use sometimes. And it's we've been advised that we need to ratify this. That this is a change that's.
Right. But you're suggesting this outside of everything else that's going on, right? Like if we agree to
Yes.
this, then
Yes.
we immediately move to ratification because you want to go back to the process of printing the CBA, right?
We'd like to print it, and we'd also like to have all of our faculty and our chairs and deans be aware of exactly what it's supposed to say in the CBA. So yeah,
Right.
we're trying to to do this. We would like to get this printed so many people like to have a hard copy of the CBA in their hands. I am one of them, and kind of looking forward to having that. And we're hoping that maybe we can get this resolved pretty quickly, and go ahead and get those printed so that people like me that appreciate having the document in their hands will be able to do that very soon.
Okay. So, and just I'm sure this is in the MOU, but just for if you could bear with me, should we agree to this and ratify this, then when the CBA is printed, the corrected language will appear in the article, or will this be like an appendix in there or something? Like, are they going to have to find the correction in the back of the CBA? Or is the
No,
correction going to be in the actual article?
what I think we could do is put the correct language in there and perhaps footnote it that this was updated with a subsequent ratification by both sides. Craig, is there
Okay.
any heartburn with that?
In typical fashion, I'd want to think about it more, but I don't have a firm answer right now. I mean, thinking of you're putting me on the spot, Chuck, but I think as long as it's noted, it's probably okay. But Robert, like what Chuck said, if you put in the original language and footnoted that it was originally ratified and that there's been a subsequent MOU, that it's ratified, like online, the MOU would be online. So the book is just kind of a printout for access. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think as long as it's noted, it's probably fine. I think the cleaner way and the easier is just keep it as it was ratified and put this in at the end. But I understand for convenience purposes, or maybe we do an updated one with the MOU or something. Can we, how about this, Robert? Chuck and I talk and we get back to you
Yeah, I mean,
on
this is not
one.
gonna, what we're
Yeah.
talking about right now is not gonna dissuade us, or
I
I'm just
understand the
curious how it's
question
gonna
and I
look.
just want to think about that a little bit more. We're talking about printed. Obviously, this would be the new MOU, so we're just figuring out how to
All right.
put it into the book. We can
All
talk
right.
and be
So,
back to you on that.
yeah, I think we can come to a decision
Okay.
by the next session, and then you can get the answer to that question by the next session.
Absolutely.
Does that
Sure.
sound good?
Yeah. Whether we put the new language in and footnote and say that this has been modified, or we put a foot, we use the language as it's ratified now with a footnote that points to an extra page at the end, as long as it's clear. I just want somebody who sees whatever language is in section 10.10 is directed to the language we want them to see, whether it's immediately in front of them or they're directed to something on another page. Either way is okay, but I don't want to just stuff something in the back without some direction about getting there so that people know to look at it.
Okay.
Any other questions about that, Robert?
No.
Okay. It appears that we have breezed through our agenda, Robert.
All right, fantastic.
And we are due to meet again in 2 weeks on March 5th. And I am expecting, and not promising, but expecting that we will have another article to share with you at that time. And then it sounds like you may have one to share with us
Hopefully.
as well. And we hope so too. We look forward to that. I think we've taken care of everything for today.
All right,
If
great.
the did you want to say something about if the MOU can be signed earlier than the next meeting, that would be nice because then I can start working on the book. Yes.
I need to go back to my team.
Of course.
Unless, let me see, how many people, let me see how many people are here. Sorry, hang on one second. I don't
Oh, you
think I have
have
enough
12.
people here.
You have 12 people from your list.
Oh, I have 12 people from my list.
I believe so.
Yeah, do you want to put us in a
I
room for 5 minutes? We'll come right back.
sure. Let me. Okay, so breakout rooms
Yeah.
and create one.
And the BOT team has a caucus room we can go to.
Before we do that, Charlie, can you send me the MOU in case we need to refer to it?
Of course, I will in just a second. Oops. Can you see it?
Can I see the MOU?
The room.
The room, yes.
Okay, all right. I will send you the MOU. Let me close it and send it to you right now.
I don't see a way I can get into the room, though.
It says allow participants to choose room. I don't. Can you try to create one since you're a co-host?
Ooh. You're maxing my knowledge of Zoom here.
Scroll to the bottom, says Marla. Room one.
It says join. If you go all the way down, it does say join.
Yeah, I don't have a join. It's the problem.
Oh, you don't.
No, I
I
don't.
oh, okay.
Breakout
Let's see.
rooms.
Is everyone else going in the breakout room?
Should we join?
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah, everyone go in there. I'll figure out. Oh, I see it. Never
you
mind. It's
see
all.
it? It's
It was
okay.
obscured. It was
Okay,
obscured for
yes.
me. Okay, I got it.
All righty. All right, so I'm gonna.
Robert, how long you want us to spend in our caucus room? You want to text me when you're ready?
I lost the join the breakout room on my end. I
I
had it
can't
for a
either.
second. Oh, there it goes.
I don't see how to do it either. My
No,
name's not even on the list.
it's where it should be working now.
I have
There's a
options, close room, broadcast. My name's not even on the list. You have Jason Phillips on the list, but not me.
oh, I he was talking about his bargaining team.
I thought I was on the team, but okay. It's okay. I
I'm
don't need
sorry,
to be.
what's your name? I don't know. I'm you, Vance?
Frederick.
You're Frederick? I don't have
Yeah.
a Frederick on the official list.
Okay, that's all right. We'll let them deal with
That's
it.
fine. You can send a if the Robert updates me, I can, do that, but
I'm sure by the time we do that, they'll be done and back. So
quite possibly, yes. Okay.
they don't need me.
All right,
That's
where's the
fine.
record
I'm
button?
sure this happens.
All right, Chuck. As far as the MOU goes, I think we're close. What we would like, or what we're suggesting, is if you and whoever else on your team can take out your calendar, and if you've got a window for a 10 or 15 minute meeting on Monday, I think we can close this out because what we want to do is share the MOU with the bargaining unit before we agree to anything. So
Okay.
I don't imagine the MOU is controversial. But we would like to be sure because this is our process. We want to make sure the bargaining unit sees what we're doing. And we agreed in the breakout room that there's nothing controversial here. But we would feel most comfortable if the bargaining unit saw the MOU before we agreed to it. So
Okay.
if you want to set up like a 10, 15 minute window next week, I got some availability and we can, formally agree should we hear nothing from the bargaining unit of concern to us.
Okay.
Monday looks good.
Yeah. What time would look good for you?
I'm wide open on Monday. So anything you pick, I should be good.
Okay, and is there anyone besides you that you want to attend?
How's everybody else? Has everybody got
I can be here too.
all right. Salat, what's your availability on Monday?
I mean, I can be, but I don't think I need to be. I mean,
Okay.
This is a
Except 11 to 1. Sorry, I
look
forgot I have
one.
office hours.
All right.
I think we could do something at 10, Chuck.
I think so. Are we going to do it on Teams then, Robert?
Well, it's got to be public, doesn't it? So don't we need a Zoom
Okay,
and a
all right, we
calendar
could.
invite and all that stuff?
Okay. All
right, so you want it on the events calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just send it
Let's
out.
be legit here. Let's.
All right. Sure. All right. And then
Yeah.
what I'll do is I'll just invite your team and whoever
Plus,
wants to come can come.
I'm told I look better on Zooms than Teams.
It's
So,
slimming.
see, Zoom takes 10 pounds off.
Is there anything else that you want to discuss then before we close the meeting?
Can we set that up for 10:15 on Monday?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All
right,
right.
and then let just Charlie, just let me know when you got the calendar invite up so I
I
can
will. I will.
send that out. And I
Okay.
think we're good on my end, unless you got anything on
I
the go.
think we are good as well.
All
Thank you
right.
all very much.
Yes.